You know, when we look at the Scriptures, we see different kinds of people in the Scripture. We see some that are faithful to God. We see some that are unfaithful to God. We see some that think they're faithful to God, but Jesus said they're not. It behooves us from time to time to look at these kind of things and examine our own life about whether or not we're what we ought to be. Jesus talked a lot about a person cleansing his soul, being clean in what he needed to do, being clean and having a clean life and being careful about the fact that he's clean. Spiritually, Jesus talked a lot about that. In fact, he indicted some who thought they were. He speaks about that in Luke, the 11th chapter, in verse 39, when he says, "You Pharisees clean the outside of the cup. You clean the outside of the dish," he said, "but inside you're full of greed and wickedness." You see, they thought because outwardly they looked to be righteous, that they must be righteous, when really, inside, they were not. Again, he speaks to them in Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. And he says, this time, not only to the Pharisees, but woe to you scribes and Pharisees. You remember who the scribes were. They were the ones that put down the words in the Old Testament. They put down the words on the scrolls so that they could be read. That's what the scribes were supposed to do. But Jesus this time says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, and he calls them hypocrites. For you are like unto whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, he said, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. It's possible for a person to look clean and not be clean. You know, sometimes you'll see on television, you'll see a mother talking to a child, and you may have done talking to their child and said, did you wash your hands? Well, the face may look good, and this part of the hand may look good, but when you look at it, they're dirty as they can be. So what do? They send them back and say, you've got to wash your hands. You're not clean. Even though they may look clean, their clothes might be clean, their hair might have been brushed like it's supposed to be and combed, but they're not clean, and they have to be told that they're going to be clean. Well, the Bible talks about that. Jesus is saying these people outwardly appeared righteous, but inwardly they're not. And what we want to be sure about as children of God is that we're clean inside. Well, how does that happen? How is it possible that we can be clean inside? What do we need to do to be clean inside? Well, I suggest to you one of the first things we need to do is what I've got on the screen. We need to clean the inside by being born again. That's the only way we can clean the inside. We have to clean it by being born again. And Jesus taught that very thing in John 3, verses 3 and 5. He said, unless one is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then he went ahead and said in verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he's talking about being born again there. You have to be born of water and the Spirit. Now, folks, I might look clean on the outside. I might appear to be a good citizen. I might appear to be a good child or a good husband or a good wife. I might appear to be a good aunt or uncle or grandfather and all of that. I might appear to be all of those kind of things outwardly. But if I've not been born again, Jesus said, I cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's a very serious statement. So how can I make myself clean inside? I'm not so interested in making myself clean on the outside. Most of us that are in this audience, or I guess all of us, would be clean on the outside. We want to be sure that we look proper on the outside. That's why we take a shower from time to time. That's why we dress ourselves the way we do. That's why we combed our hair this morning. We made sure everything was where it's supposed to be, because we want to look right on the outside. But Jesus is more looking at what's on the inside, and he's telling these people, you're going to have to be born again. And unless you are, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, the apostle Peter said, speaking to those who were Christians, he said, having been born again. Well, how were you born again? He said, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So how are we born again? Through the word of God. It's not a corruptible seed. That is, you can count on it that when you're born of the Word of God, it's going to be what it ought to be. Sometimes we buy a product and we think it's good and we use
use the product and say, well, this product's not any good. I'm going to have to get something else. We see ads on television all the time about things. This will cure that, and that will cure something else, and this will do that, and this will grow hair, and you might try all of those and find out none of them work. Well, the same thing is true in the realm of the spiritual. We might do a lot of things outwardly, but none of it works to make us clean inwardly. And so what the Apostle Peter is saying is, you're born again of the seed, the Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God. And what happens is that born again life, it lives and abides forever. That's the wonderful thing about it. So as we have on the screen, if we're going to be clean, if we're going to clean the inside, we have to do it by being born again by the Word of God. And folks, if we haven't been born again, Jesus said we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's what Jesus said. There's not anybody in here that doesn't believe in Jesus. I suspect all of you do. But if we're going to listen to what Jesus has to say, we're going to have to be born again. We can't be like those scribes and Pharisees. Let me suggest something to you. They were very religious people. They prided themselves in going through the Old Testament law. They were so religious that they would wear a certain passage of Scripture in a little box and they would tie it to their ankle or tie it to their neck, or they would wear it on their wrist. They were this kind of religious people. They were very religious. Paul talks about them in the book of Romans, said they're very religious, but he said they don't know God. So outwardly they appeared to be very religious. They would pray long and loud in the synagogues to be heard of men, but they weren't praying from the inside. What they were doing was an outward look. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You look like whitewashed tombs. You indeed appear beautifully outwardly, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So we need to clean the inside. We can do everything proper on the outside and still not be clean on the inside. Let me suggest something to you, folks. If you've never obeyed the gospel, as far as Jesus is concerned, if you've not been washed, if you've not done the things that Jesus tells you to do, if you've not been born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I would suggest to you that those people on the day of Pentecost knew that. They knew that they were not a part of the kingdom of God. They knew they were not a part of the righteousness of God, although they appeared to be very religious. I want you to think about these people in Acts 2, these Jews. Some of them were scribes, some of them were Pharisees, some of them may have been Sadducees. And they'd come from every nation under heaven to Jerusalem to worship God. They were as religious as it's possible to be on the outside. On the outside. They were very religious. Think about driving. Suppose here in Van Buren, you had the temperament to drive all the way to New York City because you knew when you got to New York City, you'd be with other people who love the Lord, and you're going to prove that you love the Lord, so you drive all the way. Don't fly, you drive, and it takes you a long time to get there. And you drive for a while, and your wife drives for a while, or a friend drives for a while, and you drive 24 hours every day until you get there. And there are lots of people there, and someone tells you you're not clean on the inside. And how were they not clean on the inside? As religious as they were, you by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay Christ. God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And as religious as they were, they went to church, we'd say today, didn't they? They went to church all the time. In fact, they went to a church a long way away from where they lived, from Crete and from other places. And folks, it wasn't easy to get there then. They didn't have airplanes like we have today. They didn't have highways that they could drive across the ocean. They didn't have that. What they had were ships, things of that nature. That's all they could get there, and it took them days to get there. But I want to get there because I'm religious and I love God. And yet Peter tells them they've got to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And they want to be clean on the inside. They look very religious. They look outwardly, they appear to be beautiful, but they're inwardly, they're full of dead men's bone and all uncleanness. Uncleanness in what aspect? Well, the aspect he's talking about there, you murdered the Son of God. So we can appear to be everything we ought to be outwardly, And we can still be lost, folks. And although Jesus doesn't use that term when he's talking about they need to be born again, he does use the term, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. He doesn't say you may not. He says you cannot. In Titus 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul put it like this. He said, we're not saved by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now look at this. Through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He's saying the same thing Jesus did. How are we saved? By water and the Spirit. By the washing of regeneration. In other words, we're born again. That's what he's talking about. We're born again. We regenerated. We're not sinners anymore. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is how we're saved. He saved us by his mercy by the washing of regeneration. What happens when one is baptized into Christ? In the mind of God, his sins are washed away. That's what happens. So that's how he's made clean. He's got to be born again. And he does that by obeying the gospel. That's how he does it. He does it by obeying the gospel. That's how he does it. That's what we've been talking about. That's the only way he can be born again. James put it like this in James 1 and verse 21. He said, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Let's think about one of those implanted words. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you don't believe that, he said, you'll be damned. That's Mark 16:16. And he told his apostles, I want you to go preach that truth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What do you say? You tell them if they believe and they're baptized, they'll be saved. What have they got to do? They've got to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save their soul. In other words, they've got to take it internally. That's what we do. We believe it. We take the Word of God and we take it into our mind. We take it internally, and that's why we do what we do. It's not just an outward thing. Oh, we can read it all day long and never do it. And some people do that, and that's so sad that they go through their life like that. And think just because I'm a good citizen, I'm a good father, I'm a good mother, I'm a good child, I do all these things outwardly that appear to be righteous, and surely that's enough, but it's not enough, Jesus said. Except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. So what do we have to do? If we're going to be clean, we have to obey the gospel. That's how we make ourselves clean, by obeying the gospel. And if we haven't done that, folks, this isn't James talking, this is the Lord talking. If we haven't done that, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's not a very hard thing to think about, really, to understand. That's why Jesus was so persistent in telling that people need to believe, be baptized for the remission of their sin. That's why the Apostle Peter was so persistent in telling them to repent, be baptized for the remission of your sin. That's why Ananias told Saul to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's why the Apostle Paul spoke about that we're buried with him through baptism into death. And we rise to walk in the newness of life. Think about all those times Jesus himself personally or through the apostles told people they need to obey the gospel. Why? Because that's how they clean the inside. That's how they clean the inside. That's what Peter was talking about. That's what Ananias has talked about. We arise, we're baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, and we are what? We're saved from our sins. We cleanse the inside. And what happens when we do that, folks, is what happens is we clean the inside by putting off the old man. That's the way the Bible describes it. You put off the old man. You're born anew. You put on a new man, you see. That's what you do. And the Bible describes that in various places, like in Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Colossians. He said, you've got to put your members to death, your members which are on the earth. And then he gives a litany of things they've got to quit doing. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, and evil desire. Covetousness, which is idolatry. And he says the reason you put these things off, this old man, the reason you put all these things off is because, he says, these things bring the wrath of God upon you because you're a son of disobedience. Then he goes ahead to say, but now you yourselves are to put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. What happens? We're born again. We are as pure spiritually as the driven snow is. There's no dirt in us. You see? We're clean. We do that because we put off the old man. What we do is we put off the old man, and now we're going to put on the new man. And that's what the Apostle Paul's telling these Colossians. And that's what you should have done. You've got to quit doing all these things because that's what the old man does. And you've got to put on the new man. In Ephesians 4, 21 through 24, Paul put it like this. He said, you have heard him and have been taught by him. This time he's talking to the Ephesians. Last time he was talking to the Colossians. When we read that passage or looked at that passage. He said, you've been taught by him. Whom? Christ. He's talking about Christ. What have you been taught? That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now, folks, what he's talking about here is not outwardly you appear to be deceitful and to be lustful, but he's talking about inwardly that's what you are with the old man. He's talking about the same thing Jesus said when he condemned the scribes and Pharisees. He said, outwardly you appear to be beautiful, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones and all unclean. Outwardly you appear to be righteous, but you're not. You're full of greed. And Paul is telling the Ephesians the same thing. You put off the old man. How do you do that? Your conduct is not the same anymore. I won't obey the gospel. I'm going to obey the gospel. You rise to walk in the newness of life. Romans 6, verses 1 through 6. That's what you do. You rise to walk in the newness of life. You're renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now that goes back to being washed by the Spirit. You see, something happens when we're baptized. The Holy Spirit's involved in that. We're washed by the Spirit. We're renewed by the Spirit. What happens is the Spirit makes us a new man. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit he's talking about here. The Spirit is God. He's one of the Godhead. And that's why I said a while ago, when we're baptized into Christ, it's not that the sins are seen there in the water and we pull the plug and they kind of go out into the drain. It's in the mind of God that our sins are washed away. And the Holy Spirit renews us. What does he do? He makes us a new person. We don't have any sin. The one time in our life that there is no sin in our life is when we come out of the water grave of baptism. And hopefully it lasts a long time, but it may be that we sin later on, but we have the blood of Christ available to us again. And we can confess our sins because he's faithful and righteous to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what we've done is we have put off the old man and we put on the new man. Look at what else Paul says in Ephesians 4. The old man grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, he says. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You need to put on the new man. Now, outwardly, we may appear beautiful. But inwardly, we may just be a hypocrite because we're saying we're beautiful when we're really not. We may appear to be righteous unto men, but inwardly we're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness if we don't put on the new man. If we don't do that. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the Apostle Peter said it very succinctly. He said, baptism now saves you. That's how you clean the inside. It is not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but it's an appeal of a good conscience toward God. I want you to think about that passage. Baptism saves us, but it doesn't wash away the filth of the flesh. What does it do? It washes away the filth of the spirit. That's what it does. Our human spirit washes away our sins. And what Peter is talking about, we do that because we want to have a good conscience toward God. If you were to die today, and let me tell you something, folks, it can happen. I'm not suggesting it will. I'm not hoping that it will. But if you were to die this very day, and you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, would you be saved or lost? Would you inherit the kingdom of God or not? Well, if you haven't been baptized, you won't be. You won't inherit that. If you haven't cleansed the inside, it makes no difference how good you're on the outside or appear to be good on the outside. You're really not, because God doesn't look upon the outside as much as He does on the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said. Jesus looks on the heart. He wants you to be clean inside. And of course, if you're clean inside, you're going to be doing those other things. I want you to think about a character we read about in Acts 10. His name was Cornelius. Outwardly, he was as good as it's possible to be, I suppose, as far as the world was concerned. He was a devout man. That simply means in the Greek, he was a devotee of God. He actually believed in God. He was a Roman. He was a centurion. He was a Roman, but he didn't worship foreign gods. He didn't worship idols. He worshiped God. He was a devotee of God. He was a devout man who gave much alms to the people. Isn't that good? You think about how good he was. Christmas time came and he had all kinds of packages for everybody that needs it. Not just at Christmas time. He had them all the time. He shared his wealth. He gave much alms to the people. And he prayed to God continually. He was such a religious man that he prayed all the time. And he did this with his whole house. He had taught his children to do this. This is Cornelius. Surely he's okay. But he was told by the Spirit of God, he was told by an angel of God to send to Joppa, for a man by the name of Peter who will come to you and speak words whereunto you may be saved, you and all your house. You can be saved, you and all of your house. As good as he was, he had not had his sins washed away. He was not clean inside. That's the thing we need to realize. People have a tendency to think, if I'm a good neighbor and I'm a good child and I'm a good father and aunt, uncle, whatever it might be, if I'm good about all these things, I pay my taxes, I cut my yard and I do all of that kind of thing and I raise my flower, I've got to be going to heaven. No. You may not. Because God looks on the inside. And what you have not done is you have not put off the old man and put on the new man. That's what Cornelius was told to do. When Peter came to him, he spoke unto him words whereby he might be saved, he and all of his house. But he didn't tell him, now, Cornelius, you need to be praying. He didn't tell him you need to be a devotee of God, because he already was. He didn't tell him you need to cut your grass. The grass is too tall. He didn't tell him you need to take care of your kids. He didn't tell him to do any of that, because he was already doing all of that. What he told him to do was, you need to be saved. And all of his words were that, to save himself. To save himself. In other words, what Peter's telling him, he says, you put off the old man, and you put off on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created you. In other words, you want to be like Christ again. That's what you want to be. You want to be like God. You want to draw near to God. You want to do all of those kind of things. In true righteousness and holiness. That's what you want to do. And that's what baptism does for us. It saves us from that sin. It puts the old man off. We believe the old man in baptism, in the mind of God, where all the sins are washed away and we come out of the water and we're a new man. We put on the new man, which is created after righteousness, wholeness of truth. We're new. So what do we need to do? We need to make sure not only the outside, it may be pretty. And I'm not saying it ought to be dirty either. But before we think about the outside and how good it looks, let's make sure the inside's what it ought to be. We must be careful not to be clean on the outside and dirty on the inside. We've got to be careful about that. And it's up to us to cleanse the inside, isn't it? Marty and I were watching a show on television not too long ago. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was a mother, might have been the grandmother, but grabbed the little boy. He had just come from playing outside, and he had on his nice clothes and all that, and he hadn't gotten them dirty. But she grabbed him by the ear, and she pulled him into the bathroom, and there she took a bar of soap, and she washed his face, and she washed his hands, and she made him clean. The problem was that the little boy was resisting all the way, and he didn't want to be clean inside. That was his problem. Well, we got to want to be clean inside. So what do we need to do? Let's make sure that we're not just clean on the outside. That's good. Keeps the germs away. But let's make certain that we're clean also on the inside. And let's do it by obeying the gospel if we haven't. And you can, folks. You can. Everybody can obey the gospel. Jesus didn't ask us to do something we cannot do. He made the obeying the gospel universal. It doesn't make what language you have. It doesn't make what color of skin you have. It doesn't make any difference in it. Everybody can obey the gospel. Everybody can put off the old man, put on the new man. But it will not happen if our heart's not right with God. We have to decide we want to do that. When the Apostle Peter was speaking to Simon the sorcerer, he said, "Your heart is not right. Your heart is not right." Philip basically said the same thing to those to whom he was speaking when he was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. He basically didn't use those terms, but basically he told him he needed to change his life. When he got into the chariot and preached unto him Jesus. We need to make sure our heart is right before God. That's what we need to do. Because the Lord searches all of our hearts. He knows whether or not we're clean inside. So let's make certain that we're not dirty inside. As we clean the outside, let's make certain the inside is what it ought to be. The song we're out to sing says, "Have your affections been nailed to the cross? Is your heart right with God? Do you count all things for Jesus but loss? Is your heart right before God?" You know the answer to that. Let's make sure it is. By doing the things the Lord tells us to do, and then being faithful till we die, so we'll receive the crown of life. Can I help you do any of that?